Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Great I Am Radio, raising the vibration on everyday life matters with heart and soul. Here's your host, Rebecca Johns.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. It is my joy to be with you. Rebecca Johns coming to you live from Southeast Michigan, Flint, Michigan, to be exact. And woo-wee! We are going to get into it today, y'all. We are going to get into it. And what is it? Well, you know, it's the heart of what this whole thing is about. Great I Am Radio is all about the conversations that bring a pointed finger to the pulse of the Great Spirit in your life. You know, we've got choices in this world, what vibration we're going to tune into and how we're going to be about life, right? You can turn on the radio and listen to sad, sad songs, and you can use that kind of as therapy and let it go and then smile and move on into the sunshine, or you can just hang out there and be somebody that just gets blue and stays blue. And life and life's experiences, and furthermore, the spiritual realm is precisely that name of the game. So, Rebecca Johns, I am a holistic health practitioner and a minister of Christ. I am a purpose coach, help people, individuals, groups, businesses get tapped into their purpose and then put a plan to put that into fulfillment and action. And today is very special for me. The work I do is completely as a gift and function of the gifts of the Spirit. And I want to explain that there is a difference, biblically speaking, between gifts of the Spirit and fruits of the Spirit. So I want to be very clear. What I'm talking about today are gifts of the Spirit. And 1 Corinthians 12 tells us that concerning spiritual gifts, now about the gifts of the Spirit, my brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed, right? Because there was a time in this world that we thought the Spirit was things. We had physical idols. We had things. People would steal each other's gods. You took my God, right? And it sounds kind of silly, perhaps, to some people, but that's a real thing. So as we awaken in consciousness, we've not only understood that God is not a thing, source, creator, goddess, however you contextualize that nomenclature, that the source of us, the creator of us, is not a thing, nor is it in a thing. It is within all things. Specifically, 1 John 4:4 says in you. And in me, but the great I am is within us. First book of Genesis said, they made us in our image. They, it says, we made you in our image. Who's we? I put to my father when I was 15. He came back with a great answer, and I didn't believe it because he said it. I believed it 20 years later when I felt it was the truth. And that is the Father, the Mother, the Holy Spirit, and the child. Christ, who is harmony. It is the balance of the yin and the yang, the Father and the Mother. There is the Father God. There is the Holy Mother, just like you have a father and just like you have a mother. And they each have attributes. And you being able to spin the strengths of each of those attributes in harmony, is a space that Christ perfected. He knew exactly when to put his hand up and say, peace, hold, stop. And he knew precisely when to crack a whip and say, oh, hell no, not in this holy place of my Holy Father. So discernment, then, is a gift of the Spirit. And there are gifts of prophecy, gifts of healing, gifts of understanding, because each of us has a part in the body. The parts should have equal concern for each other. So over the years, while I have loved my grounding in my Holy Father and my Holy Mother and my Holy Christ Child, there are also a host of angels that are not only biblically represented, but represented in many, many world religions. And there's a common ground that despite any differences, there's a common ground that all the religions seem to come together and say, and that is there is a source of life, and then there is a body of divine beings that support that source of life and work in our favor. And, you know, having been someone who came from a church background and what I will call a churchy background, and some of you will be able to relate, I don't think that the people, anyone I grew up around, including my family, was ill-meaning at all. But I believe that sometimes in our misunderstanding, we have impediments to our understanding, our perspective, our point of view, therefore we act in an impeded way. And I believe that in many cases, good meaning, God, goddess, source loving people can otherwise cause some not so source loving results. And in my eyes, I was, you know, dealing with post-traumatic church disorder. I wasn't trying to have anything to do with anything spiritual or religious, but there is a call on my life because there is a truth called, there is a source, call it what you want, that I am an extension and expression of, and I am here with purpose, gift, intuition, and a series of tools that allow me to fulfill my purpose. And so the last few decades I have spent getting to know a lot of different perspectives. I came back into the foundation of the biblical God conversation as a natural organic process in myself at almost 30. But I spent a good 15 years considering it mythological and irrelevant. But something happened to me when I was in my 20s living in Chicago. I began to really seek what I would call spirituality. And I was working for a personal development, self-improvement company, all about awareness. And some volunteers on my team said, Rebecca, you have got to know this lady because she has got a really good vibe. She's crazy intuitive, like knows stuff. And I think you need to check her out. So I'm open, right? I'm seeking, I'm wondering. And I pick up the phone and I call this wildly, crazily accurate, intuitive person that they tell me about. And she gave me insight into myself that gave me permission not just to be a great personality, but she confirmed what others have said to me. She confirmed what I knew about myself. And it's ironic that I would be on a radio show with her as my guest because her message to me was that I had a huge crown chakra with great divination coming through and I had message to give and that I was profoundly gifted. And see, I knew this because I came from a family of healers. My father and grandmother gave prophecy. They were healers, but they also didn't talk about it. They also didn't educate necessarily the next generation. And so this lady became special to me instantly. And I've learned from her over the years by being a client, but also just observing her and her presence. And she is a fantastic woman. Her name is Amy Bianc. She has a show called The Intuitive Angel. She is dedicated to helping people transcend fear and live lives filled with joy. And you'll love her perspective because she believes everyone has the power to connect to their intuition and that you can experience this incredible alignment through different types of readings, connecting with spirits. And she not only offers the services so that she can help you connect, but she offers classes in the psychic, in mediumship, in meditation, in intuition. So you can learn more about her, and I'm going to have her give her information. But most importantly, you can learn about her today because she is my special guest. So listen carefully as I introduce the lovely Amy. Welcome, Amy.
Hello, Rebecca. How are you?
I'm awesome, my sister. How are you?
I am really excited to be on your show. I loved your intro. Beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you with all my heart, with all my heart. And I love that, Amy, your work is dedicated to helping people transcend fear because, number one, why not? But number two, why I really love it is because when we transcend fear, we access love, and love is God and source and that creator energy. And it's in that connection that we find ourselves and our truth and our voice, and it gives our life so much power and, as you say, being filled with joy. So tell us how in the world you would stumble into being and becoming the intuitive angel, Amy Bianc.
Well, there's the story evolves as you evolve. I would have said, like you, that I come from a long line of people who were intuitive. My mother's maiden name actually translates to large-headed people from the stars. I know, that's so funny, isn't it?
I love it. my father's mother's maiden name translates to prophet. I just learned in the last few years.
It's the same thing. We have to look to
right
our
there.
Genetic history, right? about why we are who we are.
Big-hooded. I love it.
There are several things that open us up as we move forward in life. I had an accident when I was only 7. I fell into one of those open basements and literally fell on my head and split my skull open. So many years later, I was in my 40s. I was already well known as an intuitive and had done a lot of spiritual exploration, et cetera, and was always seeing things and knowing things. And I read about the symptoms of traumatic brain injury. And I went, oh, my God, I think I might have that. It didn't negate anything. It just explained it. And I think one of the things for a lot of us is an explanation. Why me? You know, why me? Why is it my ego? That's when you talked about fear, I think fear is the greatest evil. Because fear keeps us from exploring. Fear keeps us from the truth. Fear keeps us from speaking out. So when I say in my little promo thing about transcending fear, it's not just, oh, honey, don't be afraid. It's get your knickers up there and move forward. Don't be afraid because you need to be the light that you are. And I think that I had always been afraid. I'd not been so afraid to be psychic because I was raised in a more traditional scientific environment that accepted the fact that the human mind was capable of many different things. But I was afraid to be spiritual, which I think I heard you saying, because the spirituality seemed to me to be fraught with fraud and weird things and things that caused you to question, right? So I was angry. Mm-hmm. With God and with regular religion and that process, I wanted to think about it in a different way, although I couldn't figure out how to do that. But that was just fear. The flip side of all anger and rage is fear. So I needed to transcend that. That was very, very important because when I stopped being fearful about who I was and about why I was, and when I accepted the idea of the divine into my life, everything changed. And that's, the falling away, the coming back. It's a biblical process, isn't it?
It's
the process of the mystic. And it's the process that many of your listeners are going through right now. And I want to tell them that there is light on the other side. There just is. You go through the process and then one day you go, oh, I get it. Okay. It's good.
Oh, this is all for something. Oh, got it. Okay, I just wasn't in hellfire for no reason. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, great. I was just saying this to my 11-year-old. I love that you're saying this. I was telling my son, Noah, listen, sometimes you feel like you're in the crap. Like it's like you walked in a yard you shouldn't have been in and there's a puddle of dog dew. But sometimes that crap is really fertilizer. You're the seed. You're in the soil. You've got to get nourished and nurtured. And it's going to be dark for a minute. But, baby, you're going to bust out and it's going to be underfoot and you're going to be fruiting out here on top. And it will be for something. But you've got to hang on and believe and reach for the light.
Absolutely. Honestly, it sounds so preachy, but it's just the absolute truth.
It's so true.
That's the way it goes.
Sorry if it's a t-shirt or your bumper sticker, but really the cliches come from someplace, people. So, Amy, when you are talking to people, you know, I feel as though so much of the work I do, and really why I appreciate your voice and the voice of many with whom I collaborate, is because, you know, it's funny that you said, well, it's quite biblical, isn't it? Because I've yet to find a part of mysticism and metaphysical that isn't biblical, and yet somehow it seems the people of the church, and I mean very attached to buildings and protocol and legality, it seems that although the words sound good, right, like Christ, he was the most metaphysical I've, you know, gotten history books to date that history and science and religion can confirm. That's pretty metaphysical, right? He's pretty metaphysical. What do you think it is that would have people say, I believe and follow, and I mean, this is a question for me too, because I say I'm Christian. Why would I say I follow this mega metaphysical entity, person, being, and yet not have that active, breathing mysticism, metaphysicism in my own life daily? What's the gap there, Amy, you think? What's the gap?
Well, the problem is, well, dear heart, the problem is ego. If I do these four things, people always say, well, what do I need to bring happiness into my life? Okay, I'll give you a list of 100 and you're going to lose the list. What you need to do is not lose the list, okay?
Oh, I hope y'all heard that, because I did with my bad ear. That was good, Amy.
Yeah,
that was
don't
good.
Lose the list. Because if you just, to tell you the truth, if you just pick one thing, one, and actually do it, you're many steps closer to that wonderful divine oneness. The one thing, I mean, I think it's so important to know that. The one thing that, for instance, I breathe. I know, everybody breathes, right? But I do a special kind of breath. It's called the 4-5-6 breath. And it's you breathe in for a count of four, one, two, three, four. Hold for a count of five, one, two, three, four, five. And then exhale for a count of six, one, two, three, four, five, six. So it's conscious breathing. It's not hard. It's not, you don't have to have a guru to teach you how. You can just sit down right now and begin breathing and also listen to your show. But that conscious breathing, what that does is it actually has a biological effect. It can release serotonin in your system. It has the effect of quieting the local mind, your the mind that's worried because the kitchen is messy and people are coming over, you know, the mind that's constantly going when you're worried about things because you're concentrating on the breath. And it opens you up to something called the cosmic mind, which is that the mind of the divine, okay? So you don't need the words, the biblical words, to get you there. You can be present in it and experience it yourself. So it's not just words on paper, it's experiential. And I can't tell you how many times I've talked to people who were Jordanian or different ethnic people who will say, oh my God, you know, you took the Bible and it doesn't read that way. In our language, which was the language of the Bible, Aramaic, it reads so much differently. It vibrates through you. So that's, I think, what the word was meant to do. I think word means vibration, right? So it was meant to vibrate through you. You were not meant to understand it. I still don't understand God. I never will, and I'm okay with that.
I think that's brilliant. You know, I was raised in the Church of the East, and we speak Aramaic, and the prayers that and the songs that sometimes move me the most, that bring me to tears and my vibration alters in the presence of the tone and frequency, I have to go and look at a book to go, what are we even saying? I know it by heart. I can sing along because I've done it my whole life, but I have to go back at a book and go, what does it mean? It almost didn't matter because the meaning and understanding isn't what gave me the experience. It was the experience. It was the frequency. It was the vibration. And so
I
am a testament to that. It is. It is. It's experiential. And I know that we feel alike in that when someone has had that experience, then no one can talk them in or out of it. which is why I think that there's no such thing as converting someone, because you can give them academic information, you can give them a brochure, you can meditate and pray and chant right around them, but until there is something within them that's activated, that's not going to be activated. So you were talking earlier that for yourself you had, you know, an accident, and there were a series of things that kind of opened you up to being a sensitive to the spiritual realm.
Right.
How did you then go pursue it? You know, there's having the experience and having access to it, but somewhere you intentionally took what was kind of happening organically and made it a thing for yourself, and then it's been a thing for like decades, right? Like you've been a teacher and a sage for many, many people, including me. So how did it go from this organic opening through trauma and healing into an intentional gift that you were then going to use and put into the world to help others?
Just in case any listeners are out there and thinking that they're out of control and their life will never be sane again, I made every single mistake you could possibly make on the spiritual trail.
Yes.
I searched for gurus and answers, and I traveled the world. I actually flung myself around the world pursuing healers and people who I felt maybe had that connection to God. I wanted to know. I became educated. I went to classes. I studied comparative religions, none of which brought me any happiness. For a while, each time you get a new idea or there's a new fad of trying to understand the divine, you feel good for a little while. But since it doesn't have a good foundation, it always crumbles. And that's the one thing I learned. You cannot build a temple on a rotten foundation. You can't do it. So even if you don't know that the foundation isn't good, it'll eventually betray you. The whole temple will fall down. And so I've tried following different healers or different gurus. I wanted to become – I actually was so blessed. I actually got to meet and work with the Dalai Lama. And at the time, you laughed. I had no idea who he was. I was a little Catholic girl from Chicago. Who the hell is the Dalai Lama, right? So I got to meet His Holiness, and I'll remember one time we were listening to him. He was at the penthouse in the Palmer House, and Walter Jacobson was there. And Walter Jacobson said, "Your Holiness, you're so inspiring. How do I go about becoming a Buddhist?" And the Dalai Lama looked at him and said, "Oh, please don't." He said, "Go back to your religion and resolve your difficulties. Don't bring them to mine."
Whoa. Wow. Hey, that's kind of heavy. That's kind of
heavy.
Well,
it's also
I'll tell you, isn't it?
True. Yeah.
It's true. I'll tell you, and, you know, some of you who are listening are my clients, so, you know, we talk about this, that there are a lot of people seeking in the next green pasture because it's going to be greener over there, and over here they did this, and they do this, and they do. Listen, people are people. That's not the great spirit that's doing that to you. That is people and possibly some little vibrating spirits. We'll get into that another show. But, you know, there people are making choices that are dishonorable to the creator, to themselves, to each other. And so, Mother Teresa said, be you Christian, Hindu, Muslim, just go be a great one of those. If it's your belief, claim it, own it. But this is even heavier for me, Amy, because it's kind of like ending a relationship and breaking up, and then, you know, now you're out of that relationship and you don't resolve anything. You don't heal.
Right. And then
you don't reconcile
the relationship.
And then you go,
right?
Exactly. Now you've got another person. It's the same crap show all over there again. You know, wherever you go,
I know.
You are. Right. So I love that was said. I'm going to remember that forever. Thank you. Really, really good. Really, really good. And so how do you, I'm going to get into asking you 50,000 questions because, you know, I will keep you on a phone for 7 hours just digging into you. So you met the Dalai Lama, and then where were the next chapters? Where did you go to hone? You know, you said you were just guru, like seeking, and then you discovered what? When the seeking was what? Hit a wall, got complete, that you found?
No, I was.
What happened next?
At the time, I thought I was meeting some very nasty people. I because I met the Dalai Lama in 1985 at the World Parliament of Religions, I also met all kinds of gurus and people there. So I would go to the various people and I would say, I want to be enlightened. And they would look at me up and down and they would say, well, first teach me how to be enlightened. And I would think, darn you, you're avoiding my question. I want you to lay hands on me. I want to understand the world. I want to heal people and help people. I only have good intentions, but actually I was all an ego, right? And they recognized that. So they turned me away. So they were actually very spiritual people at the time. I didn't think so. But I tried all of that. And then in 2002, a friend of mine said, there's this healer in Brazil, John of God, and he's performing miracles. And I thought, oh, this is just what I want to see. I have to see a miracle because then I'll know it's real. And then maybe I can help them. And then peripherally, I can be special. I make it sound so right, but that's exactly the ideas that run through one's head, right?
Yes,
if I can align myself with this thing, or if I can be the power behind the throne of this thing or help this guru, I hear it from my clients all the time. Everybody's always, God help the gurus from all the helpers, right?
Amen.
Yeah. So I go down to see John of God, and it was like spiritual wonderland. It was everything that I had sought for. It was just enough foreign that I didn't quite understand what was happening, which was good. It was people were getting healed. People were praying. They did meditation for about 8 hours a day. Everybody wore white. It was very rural, very sweet. At that time, there were no cars or anything. It was dirt roads. And it was as if I discovered the lodestone, or I discovered gold in them, their hills, you know. It was so good that I started telling everybody about it. And people, I never took sick people, but I took people who wanted to see, you know, people like myself, seekers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing until it wasn't.
Yes.
And isn't that the truth of so many of our endeavors, right? Until it isn't.
Yeah, and it's you really had your hand in a hotbed of what I would call, even though it was packaged differently, you know, for my Bible peeps, you know, the spirit of Sadducees and Pharisees is still alive, my friends. The spirit of those who not want to be the vessel for and the holding place for the Creator to flow, but they think they really are. They're the top of the food chain. And stronghold spirit. You really had your hand in a hotbed of that. Are we talking about that this episode? Are we doing that another episode? Because I'll go wherever you want to go, Mama.
Well, because you're talking about faith, let's talk about it now. I think it's okay.
I think it's okay.
One of the things is, and I've just had, when you're a spiritual advisor or a psychic or an intuitive, your clients go in trends. It's amazing to see how the ideas sweep the world. And right now the idea is, I want what I want now. There's no patience in the world. And I think it's a little bit that people are thinking that the world isn't going to be around very much longer and I might as well get what I want. Or I met this guy and we've had 3 dates and is he going to ask me to marry him? It's like, whoa, you don't even know if you like him, you know.
It's that fast food mentality, that fast food.
Well, and not only that, it's also gamesmanship. I think that's the seamy side of it. You're enjoying the idea of it. You're enjoying the idea of feeling hot and having an attraction. But the win part is when the other person says, I love you, and then you can walk away. See, it's a game. And that's the bad part. That's the dark side. It's instant gratification and then gamesmanship. And that's exactly what the seeking of spirituality is. When you seek it not direct from the divine, when you seek it through other means, you're playing that kind of game. Give me what you've got. and then I'll be happy. Mm. And when will that happen, by the way? And how much will it cost?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm. Well said, Amy.
Yeah, it's very strange. So many people know that I'm the one who went and spoke out and outed John of God as a sexual predator. The story behind the story is actually the story, and I know that sounds so funny, because when you are in such discord, eventually the truth comes out. It was bound to happen sooner or later. He had gotten so high profile, and there were so many victims that it was a ticking time bomb. But my story was that I noticed it. I walked in on him in 2008. And the important thing about it is, this is the part that everybody should listen to. I was so upset. I had gone to many of my friends. I saw him molesting one of the people who I was traveling with. And I saw it with my own two eyes. I walked in on him when actually I shouldn't have. But I walked in and I saw it. So I was receiving death threats, and it was I'm kind of a middle class person from the suburbs. I don't lead that kind of life, you know. It was scary, and I had to pretend I was in a movie to survive.
Yeah.
But
wow.
I was in my room, and I had just sent a fax to my lawyer in case I died. This is what had happened, so that they would know what was going on. And I was shaking, and everything was on me. I was trying to decide what to do. So how many times have you sat there and tried to decide what to do as if you were in control, right? Like, not really.
Right.
So I see this bright light in my room. It was so bright that if I held my hand up in front of my face, I could see through it. You know how you see the bones with the really bright light, the bones and the blood in your hand?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what is going on? I was dumbfounded by this light. And then the light had a voice, and it said, do you think for a moment that God is not present in this situation? And I was dumbfounded, because I thought God wasn't present. I thought God was an illusion. Why would God allow pain and suffering and these terrible things to happen? I had so turned my back on God that it never even occurred to me that there was some kind of unifying force in bad and in good. I mean, the question just floored me, because I didn't want to tell. I wanted to lie. Oh, yeah, I believe in God. I couldn't. And the voice said, we know. And then the voice said, it's okay. God is in this situation, and we will let you know when it's your time. And that was it. And then it disappeared. And I was like, what?
Wow.
Another non-answer, you know. Can't God email you, for God's sake?
Yes or no, so, circle one. One answer, it's really clear,
yeah.
Right.
Really? This is what you do. Here, just run into it. So I had to go home because I had to wait for God to figure it out or whatever the plan was.
Yeah.
And I did.
Unfolding.
And I wasn't happy.
Yes.
Yeah, I wasn't, dear heart, I was so bad that I was actually suicidal. You know, my whole world had been ripped away from you and me. And it's just like anybody losing their belief system. It was such an integral part of me. The fact that healing happened and that the spirits were there, and I just didn't know what to do, that there was goodness in the world, and then that being ripped away from me just left me in this terrible darkness. But I remembered the part about God's good time, right? God will let me know.
Mm-hmm.
And I went home, and I only did one thing. I wrote a little blog entry on somebody else's blog about this, about healers, and because it's not uncommon to discover that your guru has feet of clay, right?
Yes.
So okay. I wrote to be careful, to maintain your integrity. If you do go seeking's okay. Pilgrimages have been done since time immemorial. You know, you have to get out of Dodge to find yourself. But be careful. don't lose yourself. And that's what I said in the blog. If you don't let somebody grab your breast walking down the street in your hometown, certainly don't do it in India or Brazil or someplace. Don't let that happen.
Yes.
You have to maintain your personal boundaries. And it was about 2 paragraphs long and said, you know, happy seeking, but please be careful because it the world is dangerous and you are the one who has to set the boundaries. Okay. And that we don't like to accept that responsibility. And then I kind of forgot about it. I would speak out all the time in my own world and with my own clients about being careful. I would, without hesitation, speak out against Joelle. I mean, I would say, be careful, you know, because these things happen. But then 10 years to the day, which is so funny, later, I get a call from Pedro Bayel's writer, Camilla, and they had found my blog. And Pedro Bayel is the biggest TV personality in Brazil, and he's on global TV, so it means he has like 17 million listeners, really a lot. And they were doing a piece because several victims had come to light. And because I had actually seen it and was not a victim, I was an important part of their story. And would I come to Brazil and be on their TV show? Well, I'm laughing because you know the courage it takes to be on a TV show with 17 million viewers.
Wow.
And here's the thing. Here's the thing, dear heart. I could not have done it 10 years ago. I was not in a position. I was not strong enough. That 10 years had made me very strong. That 10 years had dispelled a lot of my illusions. That 10 years had told me how to speak. In all my going out and teaching and speaking, I had refined myself like a diamond being polished by God. So that at the moment it was necessary, I was ready. So that's what I'd like to tell your audience. Spend every day polishing yourself and God will use you. You will be there at the time when it's ready, because each of us has a mission to honor God. Each of us has a mission to honor ourselves. And you just have to take it one day at a time. And this is really scary. You're not in control.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
You're not. You just have to, every day you get ready and get better and better. You polish the diamond that's your soul, and that's your job. How you're used is going to be so amazing because it isn't just having 700 and something victims come forward and be able to tell their stories. It's more that in Brazil, they didn't have a Me Too movement like we do here. And because of that one show, they now have a Me Too movement where they're opposing sexual exploitation and all kinds of things. I mean, it changed a culture, so just think, I couldn't have sat in my room and said, you know what, I think maybe I'll just go forward and change the whole culture of a country, how exciting.
Of a nation, yes.
I couldn't have done that. It would have been ludicrous. But then it happens, and then you go like, oh, okay, there is a God. There is a plan. I don't understand it. I might never know it, but I'm okay with it.
And I want you've said so excuse me, so much here, but something that keeps coming up to me from scripture is 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one who is an approved worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. And sometimes,
oh my God,
there are a lot of, isn't it?
2 Timothy 2:15.
And, you know, so you're telling us that you got a word of truth. You know, you saw it with your physical eyes. There was a spirit that came and said, listen, yeah, for real though. What you saw is what you saw, and you're about to speak on it, and it's going to be given unto you when. And then you spent every day polishing that diamond in your words, but what it says in the Bible is you did your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling that word of truth. And
that's
when
true.
when it was time, 10 years to the day, because the divine loves you that much to give you an alarm clock. You know, I think when I get that kind of synchronicity, I'm like, hey, thanks for loving me so much to make my humanity even see it. You know what I'm saying? Like, wow.
Yeah.
I even saw that with my collagen marble eyeballs, you know? how poignant that you then were in that polished state, approved by God, a worker who's no need to be ashamed, and rightly handling that word of truth. I absolutely love it. I absolutely love it. And my Bible friends, listen, y'all, we are quick. I swear Christians are some of the quickest, and Lord forgive me if I'm judging, we're some of the quickest to go, ooh, the devil. Ooh, that's the devil. Ooh, the devil did it. Ooh, listen, God has a season for the alfalfa sprout and the redwood tree, and those are not coming to harvest at the same time. And Amy Bianc is a redwood tree, and she shows us that because she grows always, right? Can we indulge and tell my audience your age bracket at least? Do you flaunt your age?
Oh, I'm 72.
Hello? She sounds like she's 30, okay? She looks like she's 40. And, you know, I think that that says a lot about the attunement to the vibration you hold in spirit. And the attunement to the foods that are of those high vibrations also, and you honor the vessel. But Amy, what a great testament to how disciplined you held yourself for those 10 years. So when it was time then, and you told your truth, were you safe? I mean, all those threats and all the things that had happened, were you protected? Were you okay?
Actually, there were enormous hurdles. For instance, I'm not supposed to fly. I have a blood clotting issue and risk pulmonary embolism when I'm on any kind of long flight. And there's really not much anybody can do about it. Secondly, I'd had an accident in the meantime, and my walking wasn't so very good. And then lastly, of course, there was a lot of people who really didn't want the show to go on.
Mm-hmm.
And I have family just like everybody else. And I said, hey, kids, I'm going to Brazil and I'm going to be on this TV show and expose John of God. And they went, do we have to tie you up and throw you in a closet? Because there's like, you know, they ticked them off. You're not supposed to fly. There's people wanting to kill you.
Uh-huh.
You're going to take this arduous journey. They only want to pay for one ticket, so you can't take a caregiver with you to help you navigate the airport and everything.
Wow.
Oh, that's all okay. I'll be fine, you know. Mm-hmm. And I knew, see, and that's another thing about the divine. I knew without a doubt, no question, no worries, no looking over my shoulder, no being paranoid, that I would be fine. I mean, I just knew. And when you know to that extent, to that deep extent, then you're free. You can do whatever. So I knew. So I went to the airport. People were kind to me. People helped me. They picked me up at the airport, set me in my room. I had good security. They took care of me. Everything was good. I met some wonderful people in addition to the TV show. And I came home and my whole life once again was reinvented. And you mentioned staying young. And when you stay young,
mm-hmm.
It's because you allow God to reinvent you.
Well
you
said.
Don't kick and scream. Go, okay, I guess I'll be a whistleblower now. You know, okay. I guess I'll talk to people around the world. And I've probably done 80 interviews in 20 different countries. I could have never reached that level from ego. It was God.
Yes.
And since it was God, I could just hunker down and tell my truth. If it was my ego that wanted to do it, I would have made up things.
Yes,
because that's just nature, right?
Yes, ma'am.
But I was free from that because I had not even thought about doing these things. So, okay, we're going to just do what we're supposed to do. We're not going to worry mm-hmm. about how it's going over or whether or not people like me. You know,
Yes.
That fundamentally changed everything. It changed my my clientele just surged. The people who I work with are getting benefits now. I was always okay at my job. I mean, even good at my job. But now it's even more profound because now I can look at my client with eyes that observe instead of try to fix.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big difference there. When you observe with love, and you're fascinated about what brought the person to this point. And it's just so beautiful because you can see God's hand in their life.
Yes.
And you don't have to fix them according to what you think they should look like. You work with the harmony of the divine. I think you, in your work, your physical work and your spiritual work, you do the same thing. I've always sensed that with you.
Yes.
So you're in harmony with God, not in harmony with your ego. And so that just really opened things up.
Yeah, when people come and see me, those of you who've been on my healing space table, you know that if I do an invocation of opening and prayer for you, that I thank God for every moment of your life up until now. I thank God for this moment that I'm allowed to share with you, and I'm thanking God for every moment forward of your life, because there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong, my beloved. There's nothing wrong. Our ego gets in those low vibrational panics that something's wrong, and there's nothing wrong. So yes, Amy, you're right. I do relate the same way. I'm simply here to meet you in your path and observe the wonder of the Creator through you, that you are, that your life is, that what you get to create your life to be is. And it is absolutely wonderful. So I have, Amy, somebody on the air that's called in, and she's been listening this whole time. She wants a chance to ask a question, and I'm going to give her a chance. She's been waiting patiently. She came on before I was even on the air and sat in my studio space waiting, and her name is Christina. So I'm going to bring Christina on the air and let her ask a question to our beautiful Amy Bianc. One second. All right, Christina Love, are you ready to ask your question to Amy?
Yes. First, can I make a comment?
Sure.
I really want to say thank you for sharing, both of you. I have been saying that I feel like I'm in a thriller right now with unspeakable cruelty and abuse, and I am also being shamed because I have gifts and publicly and in the courts and a lot of abuse, and I have been had an experience where I heard, I am not enough. Do you know how hard this has been for me to carry, and you did not bring it to my feet? 4 a.m. about a year ago, I woke up because I was singing a Broadway song, crying myself to sleep, wondering if I was going to heal from a mite infection that has lasted over 2 years, and just unspeakable brutality with everyone around me and being thrown out. And I knew I wasn't alone. I knew my class was to be born into a family that couldn't love me the way I needed them to, but that I would begin to discover self-love, and that God's never abandoned me. He's been here the whole time. And I'm in a situation now where the same man has broken into my house, and he's now attempting to really abuse my children emotionally. And I went to court, filled out the papers, felt overwhelmed, took a breath, took a few days, and God led me to a lawyer who helped put the paperwork together, and I turned it in on my own, and I feel like I'm starting to find my voice. And my question is, will I get the children to make the soul decisions in physical custody until he gets off of the narcotics so I can keep them safe? And is he going to hurt me and get me? Because I was talking to my mother outside in the driveway, and it looked like his body and his height popped out from behind a car, and I just kept seeing that shadow where his face would have been, and he was hearing me. And I'm afraid that he might physically kill me in front of my children. And he's got some issues, so...
Well, are you asking for guidance on how to deal with the situation? Or are you asking for someone to intuit something that is coming?
both, if I could, just whatever would help me. I feel like it's going to be okay, but I don't know if I'm going to survive a beating or a stabbing. I mean, I feel like he's just not right in his head, and he wants to control me, and I feel like his fingers are around my throat.
Well, okay. I know that I have something to say, but I want to give Amy
Go
the floor first, if you'd like to say. Well, I want to say a couple of things. I want to not mistake, first of all, the context of our show and what we're putting in front of you. Interacting with the spiritual realm is real, just as what you're dealing with. And in my belief system, we are exposed to matters of great struggle sometimes because of being ourselves out of place, acting out of order, being in the wrong, acting out of ego. And sometimes we are in a victimized situation where we didn't necessarily ask for it and it's being put upon us. And you've got a legal situation and it sounds like there are kids involved and a whole family dynamic, and it's very important that you understand that this isn't medical, legal, or advice that we're ever going to say do what we said, okay? It's very important that you know that as
right.
the context of the show, okay? You have a situation
yes.
going on where, as far as I'm concerned, if you have a concern for your safety, the authorities should be called immediately, like hang up and call them, okay?
I have multiple police reports.
Yeah, and
multiple police reports.
Restraining orders.
That's what I'm trying to get
attorneys.
Right now, as a restraining.
Okay. You
yes.
And then possibly removing yourself and other people from the place of danger so that you can
he'll
be safe.
He'll follow me. It won't
sure.
matter.
I understand.
For sure he'll follow me.
That,
I just want to stand my ground.
I'm going to say this to you and to anyone. It's important that you take safety measures. And if you're doing that to the degree that you're comfortable, then you have choices to live out. Okay? So, in my opinion, the situation you're confronting needs to be taken seriously in a very earthly manner, but with spiritual strength. And it shouldn't be done casually just because you have spiritual strength. I think Amy's story gives us a really great visual of knowing when to hold them and knowing when to fold them and knowing when to walk away and knowing when to run.
Right. I've changed the locks,
so,
windows, police, everything. And
I understand.
Spiritual
I understand.
Together. Because he'll, no matter
yeah.
what, he's going to come after me. So I have to stand my ground.
Amy, is there anything you want to say on this?
What Rebecca said is something that I think all psychics and healers and spiritual people have to understand, is that we can't tread into the world of finance or safety or any of these things, except to turn you to the things that you have at hand. That said, however, there are some extra things you can do, and I would recommend for you Ho'oponopono, which is a Hawaiian method of healing. Obviously, there's something connecting the two of you that keeps him coming back and it keeps the drama going on. And so Ho'oponopono is about cutting the ties to the drama, getting rid of it, being able to free yourself and free him from whatever obsession. So when you've done everything else that Rebecca said, if you're sitting there, you can do this. And that is, you say his name to yourself and you say, I love you. Please forgive me. I'm so sorry. Thank you. Those four phrases. I love you. Please forgive me. I'm so sorry. Thank you. Because the theory is that if you're involved in an emotional trauma with somebody, at some point in time, you and that soul had something to do with it. There is some compliance there, something that you had to do with it. So it really goes, if I or any of my ancestors have ever offended you or any of your ancestors, I am so sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. Thank you. Okay. And I did that with an ex, and I must have said it 4,000 times or more, until one day I all of a sudden I just felt light. I didn't feel anything. But the hold that was there, that probably was from 100, 200, 300 lifetimes before, was suddenly gone. And not only was I free, but he was free too, which was a beautiful thing. So it's a healing thing. It's not like you're exercising him or anything. You're freeing the two of you from the situation after you've done everything on the physical plane that you can do to keep yourself safe and your kids safe. You can do this. Okay?
Thank you. I actually said what you just said last Sunday. And so this is a validation that, okay, what I'll do is I'll keep saying exactly what you said, and I have done everything legally and to keep myself safe. And right now it's Thursday. I go to bring the evidence into court, and I'll just keep meditating on it. And
just
I've reached out to my neighbors.
Just keep cutting those bounds so everything is going to work out fine. And there is one thing we can do. We can send blessings and light to you.
Yes. Amen.
Thank
and
you.
So it is. So it is. Christina,
thank
we wish you really
you.
Well with that, honey. Take care, sweetheart. And what a powerful picture of what so many people are in the world today going through. And listen, I'm serious about handling it in the physical realm, you guys. There are a lot of us that are so spiritual that we got ourselves wound up waiting for, you know, Metatron to come and walk in and fix it for us. You are the creator. You're the creator.
If only Metatron could write checks, that would be so good.
Oh, man. Come on, bro. Help me out. Help your sister out. He's like, I cover your ass. You want more than that? You're getting greedy.
I want it in
you
my checking account now.
That's right. So it's true. Listen, there is a spiritual realm. It is a mighty. You call on it. You invoke. You get your strength, your clarity. As Amy said, you cut cords. You break strongholds from there. But you can't sit idle, right? Faith and deeds. And a lot of us, you know, are praying over a Cheeto, hoping it's going to be a carrot going down. And we're perpetuating our drama.
You
know? You
can't do that? Darn.
Dang it. Amy, it's not just magic. So, you know, there is a truth. I'm dropping my equipment here. Sorry about that, everybody. Can you still hear me, Amy?
Oh, yeah, I'm fine.
Okay, good. I'm sending stuff flying. So there's a truth to what you have to tend to here in this world. And a lot of us are not drawing healthy boundaries, or we're finding ourselves perpetuating cycles. And yes, there is the physical realm work to do, so please do that. Please don't fool yourself about that. If it's the food, change the food. If it's the relationship, either get out of that relationship or do the work to heal within that relationship and reconcile between the two of you. But the suffering can end. And the spiritual realm, which is intrinsically part of us, is here to guide and aid us in the power and the freedom and the joy of that. And as Amy says, transcending fear to live lives filled with joy. Well, Amy, we're just at the top of our next hour, my friend, and man, just heaps and heaps and heaps of divine blessings on you and your head and your soul and your journey. I just learn from you and love you more every time we connect. And please let's say we'll do this again.
Can I tell people how to get hold of me?
yes, please, yes.
Okay, so you can email me at amy@amybiank.com, and that's amybiank.com, or theintuitiveangel@gmail.com, and you can call me at 630-554-5040, and right now we're having a special. It's $40 for 30 minutes or $80 for an hour, which is a real deal, of working with me directly. That's it.
Let me tell you, that is bargain prices, you guys. That is money worth spending, because you're going to be in the presence of your own presence. You're going to be in the presence of the Creator's presence. And what the messages that Amy receives, the prophecy she can speak with, the gifts that she has of healing, the angelic realm that supports her, you will not be sorry. Amy, I love you, sister. God bless your journey, and I will talk to you soon. And to all of you who are listening and have been listening, I bless your path. I thank you for tuning in. Please tune in next week. We're going to get real earthy. We're going to talk about money and food and how to transcend with both of those. and increasing our frequency and vibration. So thank you all for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio here at Great I Am Radio. We are here with you each week at 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Central. That's 12 p.m. Pacific. And you can always watch us on the archives. Thank you for listening. I am your host, Rebecca Johns. Be blessed.